Solemnity of the Assumption is a great, great feast, and it's a blessing to have it on Sunday. Sometimes I'm asked the question, I try to answer this every year, more or less, where is the Assumption in the Bible? Many things the church had to interpret. Our Lord himself said, there are many things I wish to teach you, but you cannot bear them all now. The Trinity is an example of something that the church had to work out over a couple of centuries. And the Assumption, it's an interesting thing because it's very biblical. In the Old Testament, we had both the figure of Enoch, who walked with God and was taken up to heaven without, he was taken because God took him without dying. He walked with God. Mary walked with God. We're all called to walk with God. That means to have a relationship with him, to please God. And then the prophet Elijah was picked up in a whirlwind and a chariot with flaming horses while Elisha looked on. Jewish tradition says he will come again because he did not die. Already had his body. This is the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have a bunch of tombs that opened right after Christ died. And the bodies of the saints came out and appeared to many. These were glorified bodies. They appeared and disappeared. I doubt that they went back in their tombs and died again. And all of us are destined to have bodies in heaven, whether you like it or not. I think, well, who needs it, you know? But we're not really human if we aren't fully what we were created to be. We're not yet home. We don't have glorified bodies, that's obvious. We're body and soul. We are a united person. And this is what Mary already shares. We will all have one day. So it's really a feast of great joy. It's a feast that's meant to give us hope. When God reveals the future to us, it's always with a light on how do I live right now. God is very, very careful not to reveal too much about the world to come because we're in the midst of a great trial. We're in the midst of a great testing of faith. So God always, when he speaks to us, when he reveals the future, when he reveals himself, it's always with a glove. We can't see the hand. We only see the glove. That's so that we're free to say yes or no. If he revealed his hand, we would lose our freedom. So our Lord, we have this excellent reading today, which of course is picked because part of it talks about the Virgin Mary, but there's a lot more to it. God's temple in heaven opens, and the Ark of his covenant can be seen behind the temple. So here we see the Ark was hidden by Jeremiah, according to Jewish tradition, before the first temple was destroyed, only to be revealed at the end of time when the Messiah comes. So here we see the Ark lost to history, so to speak, and Mary's often called the Ark of the Covenant because she, within her, carried the Savior, just like the Ark had the Ten Commandments and the manna in it. So then we see this great sign in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was with child. This image, traditionally, represents three different things. One, it represents Israel, with great suffering, gave birth to the Messiah, which Mary was kind of the crowning glory of 1,000 years of history, giving birth to the Savior of the world. It's also an image of the church, striving to give birth to the Lord personally in each of us and in the world in each generation. Right now, there's a big struggle going on between good and evil, between the forces of darkness and the forces of light. It's in the Bible, but we're seeing it all around us. Christianity's on the ropes in many ways. Yet the kingdom of God is within us. Describes the struggle of the church in the world we live in. And then it describes the Virgin Mary. Each of these images is only partially in the scripture. That's by design. Because Mary is the mother of the church, and Israel is the mother of the church, in a sense. All of them are tied together, and we are also called to be like Mary, giving birth to God, to the Lord in our lives. I brought this Our Lady of Guadalupe up here because the image described there is so perfectly visualized by the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe 500 years ago. I talk about it more on her feast because it falls on Sunday this year in December. But here we see, if we go through this real quickly, we have a woman clothed with the sun. You might see it better on that image. Behind her are these rays, and she's standing in front of the sun. That's what those rays are. Behind her is the sun. She eclipses the sun. And the Indians who saw this, this is a wordless picture that spoke deeply to the Indians of that era. They worshipped the god of the sun. She is the mother of the true God, as she said in the apparition. She's wearing the cross of the conquistadors. It means, I represent the God of those who conquered you. And within her is Jesus. She's 9 months pregnant. So what she's saying here is, I have conquered, my God has conquered your God of the sun. So she's clothed with the sun. Underneath her in this image is the moon under her feet. You can see the arc of the moon. Somebody at some point had painted it over, and it's all coming off. All the original has not changed in 500 years, but anything people have touched up has all fallen off. It's a very interesting image. But we have the moon under here, and she has trampled through Jesus on the moon god, and the Quetzalcoatl, this is the feathers under here. It's a horrible demon that to which they sacrificed countless human victims, which this put an end to. 7 million Indians were converted in 10 years because of this image. Biggest mass conversion in Christian history. And on her head, a crown of 12 stars. We often think we often see a crown of a halo of 12 stars, but this image has stars all over her cloak and her mantilla, and the stars in it represent the stars as they appeared on the night of the apparition, to the best of our reckoning. And this would have been very important to the Indians, who were very astronomical. They would have seen this. Our God is greater than all of these false gods. She came bringing the Savior. So this image, then, which we can see in pictures, it speaks to us differently today. And what's very mysterious about this, and where it departs a little from the Virgin Mary, right off the bat, part of this reading is not here. It'd be very interesting for you to read the whole of Revelation 12. She's with child, and she wails aloud in pain as she labors to give birth. Then another sign appears in the sky, a huge red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. On its head is 7 diadems. It swept a third of the stars from the sky and hurled them down to the earth. He stands before the woman about to give birth to devour the child as soon as she gives birth. She herself flees to the desert and is given a place of safety. What the heck does that mean? Well, Mary, of course, she was in pain at the foot of the cross. There's no doubt about that. But all of us are called to give birth to Christ in our lives. This is not a painless process. God knows what you need more than you yourself do. What do we want in life? All we want is a little peace and rest. We want to have a good income. We want good food. We want things to go our way. We want... what do we want? Everybody to drive just the way I do. That would really be a bad thing. We want there to be peace in the world. We want our economic troubles to be over. We don't want any wars. But what does our Lord want? Your goals are at odds with Jesus's very often, because he knows you only have a brief moment here on earth, and there's so much to be done. So he takes aim at these various parts of our lives that are not in conformity with his will, and allows circumstances to come in that challenge us, that we have to struggle to give birth to God. How will you know if you lack patience if you're not in situations that try it? How will you know how honest you are until you're tempted to lie? How will you know how obedient you are until it's not easy to be obedient to the will of God? So we're in this war. And in this reading, St. Michael the Archangel, and this is between, right in the middle of the reading, which is left out of the one we just read, but after Satan is waiting to devour the child, see, this is not just the Virgin Mary, it's the church giving birth to Christ in our world right now, in the 21st century. As our church struggles to get the word of God out, Satan is right there ready to devour the child by reminding the world of our church's sins, by saying that the church is irrelevant and faith is useless, that there's nothing but the material world. Each era has its own arguments, but it's always the same enemy, ready to devour the child in the world that we live in today. She herself was given a place of safety in the desert. We all are going to have a place of safety. It's called heaven. But in the meantime, we're in the middle of a war zone. This is not safe. It's not home. And no matter how hard you try, life is going to be full of suffering. This should not surprise us. Christ promised that to his followers. So a great war breaks out in heaven. Michael, the archangel, and Satan do battle. Satan is thrown out of heaven. A third of the stars, meaning the angels, are thrown to the earth, where they continue to make war on her children. Mary's children, the church's children, the children of Israel. It's really vital that we hear this, because, you know, people in the world have no time for the Bible. I'm always amazed that people have so much time, it seems. I don't know what I did 15 years ago before email. It seems like I spend 2 hours a day trying to answer them. More parishioners contact me that way now than by the phone, and that's fine. But do I leave time? I say this every week. Do I leave time for prayer, for scripture? Do I come to Mass? We're in the period right now when everybody's on vacation, you know, but hopefully people don't take a vacation for Mass. Used to be when I was in Tillamook, it seemed like everybody came there for the summer, and then when summer ended, everybody went home, you know. But do I have time for the will of God? Do I know what I need to work on? Because God knows, and he's going to put you in situations where you're going to have to do battle. Because the evil one, or the temptations within us, are going to stand there ready to devour you when you make up your mind that you're going to follow God more closely. I'm going to start having a prayer time each day, and it's going to stand there to devour you. Oh, but that television program is on, and I sure want to watch that, and maybe I'll pray later, and then I fall asleep, and that's the end of it. I prayed too late last week. I actually fell asleep sitting up and woke up at 4 in the morning with the Bible in my... I said, my gosh, I'm getting old. I guess that's... Moral is, you prayed too late, Father Gary. It's a war out there. So our Lord, this great reading is also meant to give us hope, because we are too... there's a world coming in which we will be united, body and soul, and be with the Lord forever. A place of safety. But that world and that future depends on the decisions that you're going to make today. The choices that we make. Will I be obedient to the will of God? What does Mary have to say to us? What does she say in Scripture? Do whatever he tells you. What do we pray in the Our Father? Thy will be done. Easy to say, hard to do. This is the great message of the Assumption, is that what Mary has now, we will have one day. But don't forget, while she lived on earth, probably for many decades after Jesus died and rose from the dead, she had to suffer. She suffered her whole life long. It's no different for us. But in the midst of all of that, we have hope, because God, although he does not reveal everything to us, he doesn't open the heavens so that we can see him. He reveals himself through a glove. The hand is right behind it. The image of Our Lady Guadalupe, in my opinion, is the most miraculous image that the church has that's visible. The Eucharist, of course, is more miraculous, but we can't see it. This is scientifically inexplicable. But it's still veiled in a glove. So our Lord invites us then, through these readings, to see the world as it really is, to have hope, to prepare for battle, and to realize that in Christ we have already won the victory.